Welcome to today's edition of the Rush 24/7 podcast.
No, what you have to understand, the Hunter Biden laptop is actually not about Hunter Biden. None of this is about Hunter Biden. This is about Joe Biden. It isn't about Hunter. Hunter Biden may actually be worthy of our sympathy. Now, I know some of you, come on, Rush, don't start getting soft on it. I'm not getting soft on anybody here. In fact, folks, I'm getting harder and harder as a rock as the days go by here. Great to be with you. Telephone number 800-282-2882 if you want to be on the program. And an email address, lrushbow@eibnet.us. So here's the FBI now has the laptop. The FBI has, what are you laughing at? Not going tubing on it? Oh, no, that's not what I meant by, no. I'm talking about muscle, baby, muscle. Not tube steak. I wasn't, what do you think I would possibly, you're the guy got tubing on the brain in there. No. Anyway, the FBI now has Hunter Biden's hard drive, and it says here that it may contain images of underage girls from China. I still maintain that this is not about Hunter Biden. Let me ask you a question. In all seriousness, folks, you're Hunter Biden. You're the son of the Vice President of the United States and a former United States Senator. And your father has put you in these various positions that result in you sending him money. You, the son, Hunter Biden, have to send your dad money. That's the purpose. That's what your gig is. And you know that it isn't right. You know that it's just not, you're not living your life. You're not living your life. You're living your dad's life. You're doing what your dad needs you to do. Except that you're not 17 or 18 years old, you're a full-fledged adult. So you got this laptop of yours, and it's got all this stuff on it. And what do? You take it to a repair shop. You're the first, I don't want to insult anybody here. But if you have a top of the line Apple MacBook Pro computer, you might take it to a computer repair shop rather than Apple. You might do that. Let's leave that aspect of this aside. The fact is, he did. He took it to a repair shop, a computer repair shop in Delaware, and then didn't pick it up. He left it there for 45 days. Why do that? Because he wanted it to be seen. He wanted it to be spotted. He wanted what's happening now to happen. I think he was under a lot of pressure. I think he didn't want to be doing all of this. There might have been some resentment. We don't know the Biden family dynamic, so we don't know if Hunter had begged to get out of these arrangements. He's got Burisma over in Ukraine. He's being paid mountains of money for things he's not qualified to do. He's got this arrangement in China with the same thing. So he takes his computer with all of this data on it, all of this incriminating data, and he leaves it at a computer repair shop and signs off on the fact that if he doesn't pick it up in 45 days, he loses possession of it. So my point is that I think exactly what's happened is what Hunter wanted to happen here. So now Joe Biden's out there saying reports of illegal behavior on behalf of his son are smears. We now know with 100% certainty there were no smears. There's been outstanding reporting that went on here. And here's Roger Simon at Epic News. Hunter Biden was trying to tell us something. And I pretty much said this. I think this poor guy is a lost soul. And his leaving that laptop might have been an unconscious, deliberate act. I'm not going to say it's one of these desperate cries for help, but I think that he was desperate. He didn't like the arrangement. He thought that it wasn't going to end well for him. But look at what happens here. Who in the world could live for a year without noticing you had left your laptop somewhere? You put your laptop somewhere, you don't go back for it? 45 days or longer or a year? Could this have been a way of turning on his father without actually turning on his father? I don't know. I know that this guy, Joe Biden, has a very volcanic temper. And this circumstance is becoming more and more pointed. Unfortunate. Now the FBI's got Hunter's hard drive. And in breaking news just moments ago, the FBI, the DOJ, the Director of National Intelligence all agree Hunter Biden's emails are not part of a Russian disinformation campaign. This is what this got kicked up over the weekend, if you'll recall. And that is James Clapper, our old buddy James Clapper. This guy who is lying on CNN every day for the past 4 years. You remember James Clapper, he's a director of national intelligence of the Obama administration. Oh, Obama has been sent into Philadelphia to do a car rally for Obama. A car rally for Obama. I will explain why that's necessary in mere moments. Anyway, so you have Clapper on television every day on CNN claiming the Russians have meddled in the election. The Russians are using Trump. Trump is an agent. Trump is a tool of Vladimir Putin. He's saying all this on television. At the same time, and this is true of John Brennan of the CIA, too, at the same time, these two guys are testifying under oath to various committees on Capitol Hill. And they are admitting they have not seen a shred of evidence that the Russians had anything to do with the 2016 election. It's the most amazing thing. They were lying through their teeth on television. They were lying every day. They were on TV for 3 years about Trump meddling and stealing the election, coordinating it all with the Russians. But under oath, they said they never saw one shred of evidence. So they revived this. This laptop surfaces, oh, this is Russian disinformation. The Russians put that stuff on that laptop. And now everybody involved is denying that the Russians had anything to do with it. Do you realize how vacant these people are? This is all they've got. Anything comes up, provides them a problem. But what do? They instinctively go blame the Russians. Do they realize what a joke they have become? But it's exactly what is happening. Yes, my friends, Barack Hussein O is in Philadelphia today campaigning for Biden at a car rally. They actually go out there, they talk to cars. It's like a drive-in theater rally. A bunch of cars show up. There are presumed to be people in there. And then Obama is somewhere at the concession stand inside with a microphone rallying these guys or these people who show up. And the purpose for this, Obama is supposed to drive in votes of black men. Why? I thought Obama had that locked up. That Biden had that locked up. I thought these guys owned the black. Oh, I forgot, 50 Cent. You hear what 50 Cent said? 50 Cent said he don't want to be 20 Cent. He don't want to be 20 Cent. He wants to be 50 Cent. They're losing the African-American vote in certain places. They're having big troubles. They have Obama. And Obama is not good at this. Obama does not. His endorsements do not carry a lot of weight. They don't help. But ask Hillary if you doubt me. The reason Obama is in there is that Biden's Pennsylvania lead has been cut in half. President Trump has pulled to within 1.1 percentage points in the brand new Trafalgar, Pennsylvania poll. Biden's at 47.5%, Trump at 46.4%. That's a difference of 1.1%. Trafalgar is the group that got it closest to right in all the battleground states back in 2016. So I think, ladies and gentlemen, the trends here are moving away from Biden, and they don't quite know what to do about it because the candidate is hiding in the basement, ostensibly hiding away from COVID. But it's, I think, actually worse than that. Let's move to Trump. Trump last night at a rally in Erie, Pennsylvania. I love this. Trump last night, he's innovating on his own rally format. He used a technique popularized by this program. He used a technique. We were the first to do these montages on Rush, the TV show. And these montages now have captured American media. The Rush TV show was 1992 to 1996. We popularized the video montage. And then here on radio, the audio montage. So here is what Trump needs. In Erie, Pennsylvania, this is an energy sector state. It is a portion of the state that is very dependent on energy. And Biden and Kamala Harris have both promised to ban fracking and to get rid of fracking and to get rid of fossil fuels. And they're out denying that they've done that. Kamala Harris is denying she said it. Biden is denying it. So Trump has a montage of these two promising to get rid of fracking and fossil fuels. And here's how it sounded last night, the Trump rally in Erie.
Take a look at this clip. We had it made up, and I think you'll like, first time I've ever done this.
Would there be any place for fossil fuels, including coal and fracking, in a Biden administration?
No, we would work it out. We would make sure it's eliminated and no more subsidies for either one of those.
I guarantee we're going to end fossil fuels.
No more, no new fracking.
I'd gradually move away from fracking.
And I think it's critically important on day one that we end any fossil fuel leases on public lands.
What about, say, stopping fracking and stopping pipeline infrastructure?
They want to do the same thing I want to do. They want to phase out fossil fuels, and we're going to phase out fossil fuels.
There's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking.
And what we don't show is his more current version. Oh, yes, we'll have fracking. And the fake news, they don't do anything about it. If Biden's elected, he will wipe out your energy industry. Only by voting for me can you save your fracking in Pennsylvania.
Last night, President Trump at the rally in Erie, Pennsylvania. You ought to make an effort to see these rallies. They're not as widely televised as they used to be, but he's doing them left and right this week. And you ought to make an effort. One American Network has them every night. C-SPAN carries some of them. There's a number of places you can go. Fox will do some of the rallies. They don't go wall to wall with them, but there are plenty of places. And you really, folks, you really should make an effort to see these rallies, especially if you haven't seen one in a couple of weeks. It'll totally change your mind and your attitude about our chances and what's happening out there. You'll see an upbeat President Trump appearing confident, in the zone, on a roll. It's really worth your time to find these rallies as they happen and watch them. He's got them down pat, too. He comes in at about an hour, maybe just a little over an hour now. So it's and the reason I mention this is that I was talking to a couple of people, and they were down in the dumps about things because all they're watching and seeing is mainstream media. I said, well, you're missing the rally. What rally? I don't know about a rally. I said, yeah, what rally? Now, Trump's doing 4 or 5 a day sometimes, and 2 or 3 a day. He's doing 4 or 5 in a week. I mean, you've got to make an effort to find these. They're out there, and they are being televised. Quick timeout, my friends, as we're off and running. Another excursion into broadcast excellence hosted by me. We'll be right back. My friends, there are a lot of things that I know. And there's plenty that I don't know. But one thing that I know in 2020, we have to reject this narrative, this idea that a certain race or a certain gender cannot succeed in our country. It's just bogus. This is the message of the left. The message of the left is that America hasn't changed from the days of our founding. We are still a racist slave state. If you're African American, you're locked. You're stuck. You don't have a prayer of moving up. You don't have a chance at succeeding. If you are gay, if you're tranny, you don't have a chance of moving up. This stuff has to be dispelled. It has to be nuked. It has to be swept away. The whole notion that America's best days are behind us is silly. America's best days are always ahead of us, but that's what's on the ballot. What will America's best days be? How tough is it going to be to continue riding this massive rocket that is the United States of America? We have to reject the idea that you have to vote Democrat if you are of a certain race or background. And the way to reject this idea is to simply point to the people who have been voting Democrat for the last 50 years and then tell people, you notice they're still complaining about the same things. They're still unhappy about the same things. They've been investing in the Democrat Party with their votes for 50 years. The Democrat Party has been promising to end discrimination, to bring about social justice, police justice, whatever justice. They've been promising to fix economic inequalities and all that. And yet, every group of people that votes for the Democrat Party is still complaining about the very things they continue to vote for the Democrat Party to fix. It is fundamentally racist and not true to say that the only chance you have, if you are of a certain race or background, is to vote Democrat. In fact, voting Democrat may be the worst thing you can do in terms of achieving the American dream, because they don't believe in the American dream anymore, folks. The whole point of the Democrat Party is to convince you it doesn't exist, that it was only ever for a very few select number of people. It was never for everybody. It was a gigantic trick. And they're trying to get you and as many people to believe that the American dream itself is phony and non-existent. Well, it's not. The American dream still attracting millions and millions of people from all over the world every year. Take a few moments, educate yourself. Make a little project. Educate yourself and others on what Donald Trump's policies have actually done for minority communities and what his plans for the future are. Before the pandemic hit, African-American unemployment reached an all-time low since records started being kept in the early 1970s. African-American and Hispanic and women unemployment record all-time lows. The fact of the matter is that all Americans have an opportunity for a remarkable future, a great future, no matter where you begin. It's all there, waiting for you to come grab it and take it. It's all there, waiting for you to give it your best shot to grab it. Don't let people tell you you can't. You can. Hi, welcome back. We're going to get to your phone calls. El Quico, telephone number 800-282-2882. You want to send an email, it's lrushbo@eibnet.us. For the second straight day, a bright light shines through the gloom of a darkening COVID outlook this fall. That's right. Yesterday, the good news was that fears of squirrels becoming mass incubators of the coronavirus appear to be overblown. Positivity rates across a sample of tens of thousands of students and staff in New York City are minuscule. We told you this yesterday, that the percentage of infections was infinitesimally small. And once again, the panic mongers and the fear mongers were wrong. It is abundantly clear that we can have safe in-class instruction this fall. Now, the news today, even better. Coronavirus cases are exploding in Europe, and they're climbing towards a new peak in the U.S. This is true. But there's a tantalizing emergency, or mystery, I should say, that has emerged. And that is the death toll is not accompanying the new peak in reported cases. And so the experts are out there running around, scratching their heads, asking, why aren't we seeing the same crushing death tolls in hotspots that we saw in the spring? Now, in Europe, deaths are rising from their summer lows, but they're nowhere near the gory levels of April, even though both countries, UK and France we're talking about here, are setting records in the number of daily cases. Bottom line here is that fatality rates from COVID are dropping sharply everywhere. And, of course, the scientists are scratching their heads and trying to figure out why. Does it make sense, especially with all of their model projections that were projecting mass deaths in a manner that we wouldn't be able to tolerate? Oh, it was going to be horrible. And the deaths are just not happening commensurate with the reported number of cases, which is ultimately great news, considering what it could be. And I think we know so much more about the virus. We certainly know much more about how to treat it, how to deal with it. And this is, I think, abundantly clear. Folks, there's reason for, maybe you don't want to hear about optimism, but there's reason for feeling upbeat out there today. More than you would be naturally inclined to. And if you don't feel it yourself, try to feed off of me. Because there are reasons to feel upbeat today. Mitch McConnell said yesterday that the Senate is going to vote Monday, October 26, to confirm Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court. It's going to happen. They're going to make it happen. It is going to happen. Chuck Schumer tried to stop it, tried to force the Senate out of session at a midnight vote. Anyone had a long talk with Feinstein, or Dianne Feinstein. There's some unrelated things in the conversation, but they're not going to be able to stop it, especially now. Gallup shows 51% want Amy Coney Barrett on the court. Only 46% do not want her seated. So the public opinion is going against the Democrats on this nomination. Mitch McConnell confirmed it was going to happen. Yesterday on The 5, which airs at 5 p.m. on the Fox News Channel, this is Jesse Waters.
Yesterday on the radio, Rush Limbaugh gave his listeners an update on his battle with cancer, which is showing some signs of progression.
It's tough to realize that the days where I do not think I'm under a death sentence are over. It's a blessing when you wake up. It's a stop everything and thank God moment.
We are praying for Rush Limbaugh. Wish him a quick recovery. He's right 99.8% of the time. We hope he continues to be right. America's anchorman, L. Rushbaugh.
And that is Jesse Waters, who is definitely a star in the making, a mega star in the making over at the Fox News Channel. It is a blessing. I make a point. I wake up every day. I thank God that I did. And it's the first thing I do, folks, when I wake up is thank God that when I first realize I'm conscious, when I first realize that, yep, I stop everything, and I thank God that I bet. But, folks, I'm still on second base. I rounded second base. I was on my way to third base, and then got a little bit too greedy. On my way to third, realized I wasn't going to make it, had to make a mad dash reversal of field, and had a dash back to second base, slid in there easily, and that's where I am. Still in the game. Daily Mail TV, syndicated tabloid TV show yesterday. Correspondent David Martusko and the host Thomas Roberts talking about my announcement.
Limbaugh tells his listeners, and he claims there are 43 million of them now, that he's humbled by all the love. And he tweeted, thank you so much for your overwhelming encouragement, support, and prayers out there. They absolutely work. Fear not, I plan to hang around a long time to continue to annoy the left.
Well, I'm sure there are members of the left that are wishing him well, too. Rush continuing to host that show since the diagnosis, but did admit that there are days where it is really hard, and we certainly do wish him the best.
And I wanted to play this to thank these guys. Again, it's David Martusko and Thomas Roberts of the syndicated tabloid TV show Daily Mail TV. You know, we like the Daily Mail, the website publication. We like it. They're one of the greatest gossip sections that you'll find anywhere in gossip. But they're also solid when it comes to the reporting of straight news. Finally, on headline news this morning, a program called Morning Express with Robin Mead. She spoke with Dr. David Spiegel, Chief Scientific Officer, Director of Lung Cancer Research at the Sarah Cannon Research Institute, about my cancer update 2 days ago on this program.
Limbaugh says his challenges are actually no more special or different than anybody else's. It's a humble way to put it. It's been said that purpose and passion may have the biggest impact on how a patient is doing. So this is a man who certainly loves doing his job and was back on after having some time off here. How much of an impact may that give somebody in terms of going on?
Our own personal drive, you know, things that we're excited about doing, whether it's our work or being around our families or important events, I do think play important roles in helping us push forward, because when you're fighting, you know, something that is just weighing on you every day, it can make you lose that hope. I think with that support system, with that drive, it gives a lot of people that extra boost.
His listeners obviously mean a lot to him. And so what a frank discussion that he had with them, and our thoughts are with him.
So, there were a lot of things in the media regarding my announcement today that were just off the charts. But these three were right on the money, and I wanted to acknowledge them, and I wanted to thank them. Well, I'll take a brief time out. We'll come back and continue after this. Hey, welcome back. You are part of the fastest 3 hours in media. Rush Limbaugh here behind the Golden EIB microphone. We start on the phones in Atlanta. This is Jerry. Thank you for calling, sir, and it's great to have you. Hi.
Hey, my pleasure, Rush. It's always great to hear your voice. Hey, I had a question for you, or a suggestion, that if you had the opportunity before tomorrow night's debate, I want to see if you could reach out to the president and just remind him what you always, always say to red state residents when they always call and complain about blue states residents moving in, and that is you always tell them you just need to compete with ideas. And if you could do that, I think it would be game, set, and match. And you can almost tell the president you're treating him like a professional golfer, in the sense that professional golfers, they don't have coaches. They just need friendly reminders. And if you could remind the president on that, I think this game would be game, set, and match.
Well, instead of doing what you want him to compete with ideas instead of what? What is he doing that you don't like?
Just lay out the differences. Here's where I stand. Here's where my opponent stands. And if you can just lay it out simple, easy.
Well, you know, I think Trump, I've been watching his rallies. And one thing I've noticed in the rallies is he has developed a 4 to 5 minute riff on exactly this. He has, I don't know if it's part of debate prep, or I don't know if it's part of rally prep. But he's not going to get 4 uninterrupted minutes, but he has been, in these rallies, I think, doing a great job of explaining his achievements, the accomplishments of his administration to date. And he's doing it within a time frame of 4 to 5 minutes. So he could reduce that, I think. He's going to at least get 2 minutes, and then Plugs is going to get 2 minutes at the beginning, you know, answering every question. That's when he needs to be quiet. Let Biden take all of his 2 minutes and don't interrupt him. Because I'm telling you, after about a minute or 90 seconds, that's when it's going to get dicey. But let me share with you another perspective that I've had on this. I think every one of us needs to take a moment and remember something. We need to actually remind ourselves what we are seeing happen every day. We see it, we take it for granted, but you need, we all do, to take a moment to appreciate what's going on. Because in one sense, it is very sad and strange to watch Donald Trump, who's worn out, folks. Donald Trump is still coming off COVID-19. He got over COVID-19 in a record amount of time. But he still has to be worn out from it, and not just COVID-19. He's doing 3 to 4 rallies a day. He does not have time for downtime. He doesn't really have time for debate prep. He's focusing on these rallies, and he's trying to make them as sharp as he can. He's not doing 90-minute rallies anymore. He's tightening them up. He's getting in there, he's getting it, and he's getting out. And in the midst of all this, he's fighting the media. He's fighting the swamp. He's fending off the deep state and their efforts to destroy him. While what's going on at the same time? Joe Biden sleeps. Joe Biden rests. Joe Biden ostensibly preps. And the media puts a wall around him while attacking Trump. If you want to talk about a stacked deck, you could very, very well make the case here. I think that you all need to have a renewed appreciation for Donald Trump. And I'm not practicing sycophancy here. I don't need to kiss up to President Trump. I'm saying this from the tip, the bottom of my heart. I think there needs to be a renewed round of appreciation for what this man is attempting to do for everybody else. What he's attempting to do for you, what he's attempting to do for me by saving this country. And he's doing it in large part alone. Yeah, he's got a staff. Yeah, he's got, but he doesn't have a whole lot of party assistants out there. We're watching a worn out. He has to be. Even these indefatigable, even though he has more energy than any president I've ever seen, there are still limits. He's not doing this for himself. Not strictly. I'm sure he wants the achievement. I'm sure he wants the achievement of being reelected. I'm sure he wants to serve his second term. But he's doing things that none of us could do. He's doing things that very few of us would even try. 3 to 4 rallies a day. While worn out, folks. No time for downtime. No time for debate prep. And he's fending off the media like Leslie Stahl at 60 Minutes. By the way, that's who it was that called me the other day. Leslie Stahl called, and her question was, and she didn't want to talk to me on camera, will you tell your audience to be nice if the election's undecided on election night? Will you tell your audience to be calm? That's what she was going to ask me. The presumption being that you people are out of control, bunch of zombies. You're just going to run around and raise hell. You're not out of control. You're not zombies. You are the glue that keeps this country held together. They are the zombies. They are the people running around setting their own cities and towns and businesses on fire. I resent the implication that you people represent the problem in this country. You're the solution. Get up, go to work every day. Do everything you can to play by the rules. You got Donald Trump out there attempting to stand up for you and make sure that the effort you're making is not wasted, that you have a country where your activity and your desires are going to be rewarded. And meanwhile, Joe Biden gets to sleep. Joe Biden gets to, he gets to rest. He gets to prepare for the debate, whatever that is. The media puts up a protective wall and a moat around the guy while attacking Trump 24/7. So I think Trump can do what you want. I think Trump is got a technique here for espousing his achievements, his issues, in a concise and limited amount of time. Folks, we've had 3 years of allegations of corruption against Trump, and they have turned up nothing. 3 years of absolute nothing. The most investigated, the biggest anal exam of a human being I've ever seen in American politics. The most offensive invasions of privacy we've ever seen, and they have turned up nothing. Donald Trump, of all the people in that town, is clean as a whistle. And he has every right to make this comparison between himself and Joe Biden. He just has to be careful how he does it. Got to lower Biden's approval and raise Trump's at the same time. I think I'll review some other things Trump could do during the debate. But I have no idea what or how close to accurate I'm going to be. I'm like everybody else out there. I have opinions and thoughts about what he should do. We have your phone calls to mix and match, and we'll get back to all of that before you know it.